I wish I could go back to school and go to that school. That's quite an incredible feat and achievement, isn't it? Well, the heat's been ramping up again a little bit, and it's been getting hotter and hotter, but thankfully, we have these new air cons in the church, so everyone should be cool this morning. This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for time that we can spend with you in your word. We thank you that you have a message for us. We thank you that you love us and you care for us, and you have nothing but good intentions for us. And we just pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. In your name we ask it. Amen. So, yeah, Pastor Raph is away on holiday, enjoying himself on a beach. No, I'm joking. He's not. He's, as Gordon said, he's very busy, and he's been traveling around doing a lot. So he asked if I would share this morning, and I said yes, and it's an honor and it's a privilege. So let's get into it. When I was younger, my family didn't own a car. Okay, so we pretty much walked everywhere. Has anyone ever been to the northeast of Scotland? Aberdeen. Actually, Reuben, who I know, has been to Aberdeen. It gets very cold, very windy. The weather is really depressing. And on a Sunday, we would walk to church twice, because we had church in the morning, we had church in the evening, and we would walk to church uphill, and we'd walk home uphill. No, we'd walk to church twice, and it was about a 30-minute walk each way. So you can imagine, there would be times on the way home as a young boy that myself, or more often than not, my brother, we wouldn't be able to carry on. Our feet would start dragging, we'd start mumbling and complaining, we'd start falling behind, and just, oh, help. And eventually, we would hear our father shouting our name, you know, or maybe we'd be, Dad, help, I can't carry on. And there was not a better feeling in the world than your dad coming and scooping you up, and in Aberdeen we would call it a coley bag, but putting you over his shoulders and giving you a fireman's lift, I don't know what you call it, and carrying you home. Basically, just attaching you to him and taking that load and that burden of walking home for the second time that day away from you. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, it says this: Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. We're reading from the NIV. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me start this morning with a question to everybody. When was the last time that you truly felt at rest? Rest. I'm not talking about when was the last time that you had a day off work. I'm not talking about when was the last time that you finished that project and you felt great about yourself. Or even that awesome holiday that you went on and you were just able to relax at the beach. Or maybe at night, once you've put the kids to bed and tidied the house and you sit down for a cup of tea, you know, not that kind of rest. But when was the last time that you experienced deep soul level rest? a rest that stays with you even through the chaos and busyness of life. When your heart is at peace, no matter the circumstances that you're going through, where your mind has been calmed and your spirit feels refreshed. See, the truth is that for many of us, that kind of rest seems a little bit like the gold at the end of the rainbow, right? As I'm saying that, you're thinking, that's a nostalgic memory. I mean, I've not felt rest like that in a long time. And today, we live in such a fast-paced, always-on, I-need-this-now culture, right? Where we juggle work deadlines, family responsibilities, social commitments. And often, even when we get home from our jobs, we're still dealing with a constant barrage of notifications and emails. Who has WhatsApp? Everyone. Everyone has WhatsApp, right? WhatsApp is a great application, and it's also one of the worst things ever invented. Okay? When you get home from work, it's... I'm a chef, so I actually went through this problem, and I had this situation at work, is when I would finish work, or I would get home from work, or I wasn't on work, I would be constantly receiving notification, notification, phone call, notification, notification, and there was no rest in that. So when I wasn't working, I was still receiving all these notifications. It's so easy to fall under the pressure to receive an email and want to respond to it now. You have to respond to it now, because that's the society that we live in. Social media is very similar. See, we live in a culture today where busyness is worn like a badge of honor. If you're not busy, and if you're not hustling 24 hours a day, then you're doing things wrong. And this kind of lifestyle is unsustainable. It often becomes exhausting. It becomes physically exhausting, it becomes emotionally exhausting, and it becomes spiritually exhausting. In today's society, we even have a name for this kind of exhaustion. It's called burnout. And that's the process of how overwork and stress impact our health and our productivity. Some statistics that I pulled up speaking about burnout and overwork. And I work as a chef, so a lot of these statistics are very common to me and I can understand them, and as I'm sure a lot of people in here are, because a lot of people in this room work insane hours. The typical EU working hour averages 36 hours a week. But as soon as you start to work 55 hours or more, that is linked to a 35% higher risk of stroke and a 17% higher risk of heart disease. That's quite good. Food for thought, right? In Spain, okay, where we live, since the pandemic, mental health sick leave has risen 72%. Okay, almost 700,000 cases in 2024 alone, averaging 108 days of leave each. In the UK, 800,000 workers have had work-related stress, depression, or anxiety in 2024. 83% of people say that work stress affects their personal relationships. 77% of people, according to the American Institute of Stress, say that they experience stress so severe that it affects their physical health. Now, please, listen to me here. I am not advocating that we live lazy lifestyles. Okay, just let me put that out there. Okay, I'm not saying we don't have to work hard and we don't have to worry about anything. Okay, life has responsibility. It's biblical to work. It's biblical to take a Sabbath. I'm merely pointing out the state of the situation that so many people find themselves in today. We live in a world that's tired. We live in a world that is weary and burned out. It's common to hear things like, whenever somebody asks, "Hey, how are you doing?" "I feel drained. I'm shattered. I'm running on empty." I've probably uttered those words myself this summer multiple times when responding to people asking me how I'm doing. In the last few weeks alone, I've personally dealt with two situations at work where people have literally become so overwhelmed they could not carry on with the job. Their minds went. You see, this lifestyle, this culture doesn't just affect our work schedules. It also affects our spiritual lives. It affects our souls. Because I haven't even started to speak about the added burden and pressure of anxiety, worry, financial pressures, family strains, grief, loss, spiritual burnout, dryness, apathy. And it's into this situation this morning that I want to look at what I would call one of the most encouraging and profound passages in the New Testament, in all of Scripture, I would say. Let's just read it again. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I believe that these words speak to everyone in here in one way or another. I believe that these words resonate with each of us in a powerful way. I believe that these words, whenever we hear them, sound like Jesus is speaking directly to us, because I believe that Jesus is speaking directly to us through these words. And just as we go through these verses, there's a few things I just want to pick up on, a few things that we can apply and look at in our lives. There's three commands that Jesus gives us here. Come to me, take my yoke, and learn from me. An invitation to the weary, an exchange of burdens, and rest in relationship. So Jesus starts off, and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." I think we would be hard-pressed to find 16 words in the Bible that describe the heart and the plan and the mission of Jesus towards us as described here. Can anyone think of anything? John 3:16? 25 words. A bit more. But this is the greatest invitation in all of history. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." I mean, we can just keep saying that, can't we? See, at its core, this is the gospel message. At its core, this is a call to salvation. But it's more than just that. It's an invitation, no matter where you are at this morning, no matter what you are going through, to come and find rest, not here, but in Jesus. This is Jesus saying, "Hey guys, this is not about a program, it's about a person. It's about a personal relationship with me." He doesn't say, "Come to religion, all you who are weary and burdened. Come to church." He doesn't say, "Come to philosophy. Come and learn the way of them, this, and that will make you better." He doesn't say, "Attend this self-help group or that self-help group." Nothing wrong with self-help groups, but Jesus' instructions go much deeper than that. Jesus doesn't even say, "Sort yourself out first and then come to me." See, there's no prerequisites, there's no hoops to jump through. It's a simple invitation with no demands. Come to me. A complete offer of grace and acceptance and rest if we're willing to simply come. And what does Jesus ask from us? I think the only things we can do are recognize our need, have a little bit of humility, and believe in his word, a little bit of faith. And you may be sitting here this morning thinking about your particular life situation. Yes, Paul, that sounds great, but you do not know what I am going through. And you're right, I don't know what you're going through. But I do know that you're a messed up sinner just like me. All you who are weary and burdened, come and I'll give you rest. I remember there was a time when I attended a rehab clinic many years ago, and I went into the clinic after, it was quite hard to get in. It wasn't a clinic actually, well, I went to a clinic, then I went to, it's called Teen Challenge. It's a Christian rehabilitation center, and after 2 weeks, I was like, I am done with this, I'm gone. And I left, and I went and lived the story of the prodigal son, and then my money ran out, and I called, and they said, yeah, you can come back, but don't do that again. And and so I did. I was in there for about another 8 months, 9 months, something like that. And they were so graceful to me. The head guy there was a guy called Gordon, and he just had this amazing heart for people. And he allowed me to come to Mallorca to visit Heidi. It was completely against the rules and the regulations of the program that I was going through. But he knew that my marriage was more important than these rules and regulations. And I came to Mallorca, and unfortunately, on my way back, I bought drugs, and I sneaked them into the center. This is a complete no-no, yeah? Instant dismissal. You're out if you get caught doing this. And now, looking back, the regret that I have doing that, but I remember the Gordon came and he confronted me and he said, Paul, did you take something back with you? And I said, no, Gordon, I wouldn't do that. Not a chance. And he said, okay, no problem. And man, I knew he knew, but eventually I went to him and I confessed. I said, look, I did. And in this program, you build up through steps. So you go, you know, you do phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four, and you get more responsibilities as you go through the phases. And he basically put me from phase four all the way back to phase zero, which was nothing. I had no life of my own. And me, just being pig-headed and stubborn, I couldn't deal with that. So I left again. And I went. I'd had money had gone into my bank somehow, I think through Paro or something, through government money here, and for about 2 or 3 weeks I lived that lifestyle again of just absolute debauchery. And eventually I had 50p left, I think it was, and I remember thinking, he will not accept me back. He's done with me. Because they offered me all these different chances, and I've just thrown it all back in their face. And it was literally the last, I think the phone box, it was 20p or 50p, I can't remember. And the phone box took 20p or 50p. And I remember putting it into the phone box, calling Gordon, saying, Gordon, help. He said, Paul, where are you? I'm coming to get you. And everything in my mind was like, he won't accept me, he won't accept me, he won't accept me. That's how we can feel with the Lord sometimes, right? He came, he collected me, and thankfully the story got better from there. And I was able to repent and move on with my life. But you see, this is a similar kind of thinking to what the original audience of this passage would have been thinking, because they were similarly thinking that God couldn't accept them, because in Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, Jesus says, speaking to the Pharisees and of the Pharisees, they tie up heavy, cumbersome, weary, heavy-laden loads, and they put them on other people's shoulders, but they're not willing to lift a finger to move them themselves. It was exhausting to try and please God under the weight of all this religious legalism. And this guy Gordon really showed me the heart of Jesus towards me. See, in this original language, there's two types of problem or two types of burden or weariness that are explained here. One, come to me, all you who are weary. You know, those who labor and strive on their own. Moralism, legalism. But also come to me, you who are burdened. Maybe you have burdens from the outside. People are applying burdens onto you. So whether you're worn out from what you've been trying to do and weighed down by what's happening on your strength, or whether you're weary and burdened by things that are happening to you, it doesn't matter. Jesus calls to you. And today we may feel weary and burdened by an endless list of things. Work issues, stress, anxiety, grief, chronic pain, broken relationships, financial issues, weariness from sin, burdened by sin, burdened by guilt, burdened by shame, and you just can't handle it anymore. Well, Jesus is saying, come to me, and I will give you rest. Amen? What a beautiful invitation to a personal relationship with the King of Kings. What a gracious invitation for reconciliation, if that's what we need. Because that's what this is. It's an invitation to live a personal relationship with Jesus. It's so easy to get stuck in a rut, trying to do it all in our own strength, right? And maybe you're just beat down from life at the moment, weary from trying to please God in and of your own strength. Sitting here today, overwhelmed with life, and you don't know Jesus. Well, let me say, this rest cannot be achieved through your own merit and self-reliance. We can try. We can maybe even feel better about ourselves for a day or two. I've never really been very good at that. But this is a rest that requires us to, as 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties onto Jesus because he cares for you. There's no other substitution. It's Jesus. As I was thinking of this, I thought of the illustration. Who's read Pilgrim's Progress? Everyone? Most people? Lots of people? Yeah. And, you know, we all, for those that haven't, there's a guy in this story called Christian. And early in this story, we meet this guy, and he's burdened. He's literally carrying a burden around, a massive weight strapped to his back. And it represents his sin, his guilt, his shame, his fears, his judgment. And no matter what he does, he can't shake this burden off, right? He tries to be better. He asks his neighbors for help. He attempts religion, thinks that might help me. He attempts self-effort, but the burden does not move. In fact, the more he tries to fix things himself, the heavier his load seems to grow. And eventually, someone points him towards this narrow path leading up a hill, and at the top of that hill there's a cross, and at the bottom there's an open tomb. And as Christian climbs towards that cross, the burden on his back suddenly loosens. It comes off his shoulders. It rolls down the hill. And who can guess where it disappeared into? The tomb. That's right. And he stands there in awe. Finally at peace. His soul finally has rest. Have you experienced that? See, this is the very heart of Jesus' invitation in Matthew 11. That the burden would fall off when we come to a place of grace. That guilt, that shame, that burnout, that weight of expectation of failure that you're carrying, Jesus wants you to bring it. And he promises, I will give you rest. Jesus carries on in verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you. Let's exchange burdens. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. A yoke, quite simply, was a wooden beam or harness kind of thing that would be placed across two animals, normally ox or oxen. I don't know the plural for that. But you get two ox in side by side, and they would be able to pull a load together. Yeah? It was a common image back in the day that spoke of submission and obedience. And you might be thinking, hold on, Paul, We're talking here about how Jesus wants to take our burden and give us rest, and now he says, take my yoke, take my burden. Why would me, being burdened, need a burden? Jesus has just offered to remove my burden, and now next verse he's telling me to take his yoke, which is a burden. But let's illustrate this just a little bit further. See, farmers in Jesus' day would often yoke a young ox with an older, stronger ox. And that older, stronger ox would carry most of the load, while the younger ox learned from the older, stronger ox. It learned to walk in step with the older, stronger ox. It learned to walk in rhythm and harmony with the older, stronger ox. That's the picture that Jesus is sharing here. Jesus is the stronger ox, helping to carry the load that we can't carry, teaching us how to do life. So instead of having to deal with all the burdens and pressures on our own, in our own strength, as we submit to the leadership of Jesus, we find that not only is he pulling with us, but he's also pulling for us. This isn't Jesus trying to attach conditions or clauses in order for us to receive rest. It's the complete opposite. This is Jesus saying, hey, let's exchange burdens. Give me your burden. And let me disciple you. Let me show you how to walk. Give me the pressure that's crushing you. Because I've been there. I've won that battle. I died for you so that I could carry your burden. Psalm 55, 22 tells us, cast all your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. And as I was thinking about this term, learn from me. Come to me, all you are weary, give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. As I was thinking about this term, it made me think, so many people, any tradespeople in here? Any craftsmen or... No? Any... Maybe this illustration's not going to go so well then. But, you know, there's people in this church like Chris, who's a master, like he's a jeweler. Yeah, there's master craftsmen like joiners and bricklayers, and there's, I was thinking about the guys that blow glass, and some of these trades and crafts that go back a long, long time, how they would make samurai swords, and you know, a master would pass on the tradition to a younger one, and it would get passed on. And in some things, there's only like two or three masters left, and teaching all these people. And you know, me being a chef, I can relate to that. I was lucky that I got to train under a really good chef when I was younger. But I would have loved to have yoked myself to one of the masters. I'd have loved to have learned and honed my craft under, you guys probably won't know these names, but Thomas Keller or Pierre Kaufman, maybe Ferran Adrià, the godfather of molecular cuisine, Joël Robuchon. Because one thing about these guys is every single popular, skilled, top-of-the-level chef these days has gone through their kitchens, has learned something from these guys. And why is that? I'd say it's because being close to a master, day in, day out, fast-tracks your growth. It shapes your skill. It gives you confidence. It lets you hone your talent. And as you learn to imitate the master, you learn character. You learn discipline. You learn timing. You learn patience. So you can learn all their recipes in a book. You can go to a recipe book. You can go to the internet and get, you know, Thomas Keller's Pearls and Barley. It's a very famous recipe. And you could make it at home. But those invaluable life skills that you can only learn from spending time, day in, day out, with a good teacher, it won't be the same. And this is what Jesus is inviting us into. He's not saying just come to this class, but come to a close personal apprenticeship with me, with the master and author of life, where we can become more like him. Isn't that incredible? It's the difference from just reading the Bible to reading the Bible and walking with Jesus. There's a huge difference. And Jesus here reveals to us his heart to mankind. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Dane Ortlund wrote a book called Gentle and Lowly. He says, the one place in the Bible where Jesus tells us about his heart is here. He tells us that he is gentle and lowly, gentle and humble. God himself, as revealed in Jesus Christ, is gentle and humble. That's his nature and his heart towards us. Gentle means unassuming or meek. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the world. When Jesus came riding in on a donkey, your king comes to you, gentle, meek, riding on a donkey. He's humble, accessible, approachable. It means that he can identify with the low, those that are cast down and wearied and burdened in their souls. He is not harsh, he's not demanding, but he's kind and inviting. See, we don't need to hide our flaws and weaknesses from Jesus because he's trustworthy and inviting us into that relationship. Jesus isn't standing wagging a pointed finger at us like a disappointed taskmaster. You know, why are you the way you are, Paul? I'm taking my yoke back if you don't sort this out. That's not Jesus. He's standing arms wide open, inviting us. Come. Take my burden. Learn from me. You'll find rest. It's a promise. Yeah? I will give you rest. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Not you might, you will. not temporary relief, but lasting soul rest, where we have peace with God, purpose in life, and hope for the future. That's what Romans 5:1 says, right? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah chapter 6 says, ask where the good ways are and walk in them, and you will find rest for your souls. As we finish, he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When Jesus says that, you know, in the original context, when he says, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light, it's speaking about my yoke is well-fitting for you. It's not too heavy. It's not going to chafe you. I'm not going to put too much burden on you. I will only give you what you can handle. And when Jesus says that, I can hear that story at the beginning, you know, on that windy, rainy street in Aberdeen, trying to trudge home from church, going, Dad, help. And just him saying, it's nothing for me. Let me carry you. That's the yoke is easy and the burden is light, because Jesus is on the other side of it. Three great invitations. Come to me. Take my yoke. Learn from me. I have a humble and gentle heart. I promise you I'll give you rest. And how do we apply this into our life? Maybe you're sitting here thinking, that sounds wonderful, but I've tried rest, I've tried to do it, and I can't slow down, I can't slow my life down. My problems are still there. How do I actually experience this rest? Let's remember, one, it's a process and a relationship. It begins with a simple step of faith. Answering Jesus' invitation. Yes, Lord, I'll come. I trust you. And it continues as a daily walking and learning in sanctification. Don't get discouraged if you don't feel totally at peace overnight. Boom. Jesus is patient. He teaches us step by step. All we need to do is stay yoked to him. And there's four things I was thinking, four practical steps we can do to help us live this. Number one, come as you are, warts and all, but come daily, not just once. This invitation is just not for your first moment of salvation. It's for every day that you feel the weight of life pressing into you. A practical step to help that would be to start each morning off with a prayer to Jesus. Make coming to him a rhythm of your life and not a last resort. Secondly, identify and surrender the burdens that you're carrying. We're all carrying different burdens. Write what is weighing you down. Is it anxiety, guilt, work, pressure, family strains, hidden sins? I don't know. Write them down in a journal, or I know some of you are quite journaly. I'm not the most journaly person. Put it in the notes app in your phone. I do that. Yeah? And then physically hand them over to the Lord in prayer. Trade your yoke for his. Remember, his yoke means his way. Take my way upon you. That means his pace, his leadership. We are simply walking in harmony with the Lord, not trying to run ahead of what he's got planned, not lagging behind, but learning to walk in step with Jesus. A practical step to help there. When making decisions this week, ask, is this me striving in my own strength, or am I walking in step with Jesus? Choose to be gentle with yourself and others, because that is his heart. And lastly, learn from the master. Discipleship is apprenticeship. So that means we need to stay close enough to watch, listen, learn, and imitate. One practical step. Choose one gospel and read a short passage daily. Not for information, but look at how Jesus treats other people. And then imitate that in your own interactions. Remembering that he is gentle and humble, not harsh and distant. So as we close this morning, maybe you came in carrying more than you've told anyone. Maybe you came in carrying the weight of deadlines, the ache of disappointments, the quiet battles that nobody sees. Maybe your heart is restless, your mind is full of noise, your soul's tired, and Jesus' words are just like a ringing bell. Come to me, all you who are burdened, and I'll give you rest. Guys, this is not an empty promise. This isn't a try harder and maybe you will get it. See, the one who carried the cross for us and died on the cross for us, the one who carried the weight of all our sin and shame, is the one who still carries us today. Amen. We don't have to fix ourselves first. We don't have to clean ourselves up. We just have to come. Take him your anxiety, your guilt, your fear, your burdens that you've been dragging for far too long. And in exchange, accept that offer of rest. Not just a nap, not just a nice weekend at the beach, but a deep soul-level rest. The kind that can carry you through storms and sorrows. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that you offer us a rest that is beyond comprehensible. Thank you that you don't give any conditions or clauses to this, but that we can just come to you as we are, Lord. We love you. We worship you. We thank you for who you are, what you've done for us, and what you're going to continue to do for us, Lord. In your name we ask it. Amen.